Okay, these are our girls, Shanice, Ariel, and Hannah, and then Hannah Pichardo. What we've been doing over the last little bit is just some of our Christian school graduates have been doing some things as we're highlighting our school just a little bit, and so we're proud of all of our graduates and what they're doing. And not all of them are in, you know, we think sometimes, well, you know, they're missionaries and all that, and that's certainly our desire for God to call many of them to serve Him, but you can serve Him even if you're not full-time in a ministry. And we're proud of all of our graduates, and they're all doing very, very well. And those three there, they've been singing, the girls have been singing together for several, many, many, many years. And so that's what we've been doing, just to let you know that. We're starting a summer series. We've been in the book of Proverbs, about 40 lessons, off and on over the last year and a half. For the summer, we're going to look at the Ten Commandments. And we're going to a little series just during the summertime. And they do apply to us today. They apply to us today, very importantly. So this evening, if in your little handout, I believe we have the verses. So let's start with Exodus chapter 20 there. We'll read the first 17 verses, which contain them. It says, "And the Lord and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and in it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor any stranger that is within thy gates. For in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We're calling this God's top 10, God's law, love, and liberty. Those words typically aren't associated with the list of commands that God gives to us. God's commands, though, tell us the truth and what the truth is all about. The main battleground we're seeing in our society now, and it's kind of all been blurred, and by the way, it's getting more and more blurred each and every day. It's getting worse each and every day. The battleground is the belief that there is no right or wrong. There are no absolute standards of righteousness. They believe that truth is relative. And we've got to the point to where we don't want to hear people that say something that's true that go against what we believe. They try to silence us. They call it hate speech. It's not hate speech. To say that God says this is true all the time, regardless of what any of us think, is not hate speech. It's just the truth. It's a little reminder of where this all started from, it started in Genesis. Look at the verses there in Genesis, where the serpent got Eve to sin. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said," it's always questioning God, by the way, it's where it starts, "Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And that's not true. God didn't say they could never touch it. He said, don't eat it. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof," now here's the key, "that your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil." What that means is, he told Eve, the day you eat the fruit and you make your own decision, you are now a God in a sense that you decide what is right and wrong. When I say God, that's with a little g. That is where our society is at. We, each of us individually, are told in our society that you are the one that decides for you what is right or wrong. There's no standard. There's no outside force that says that's right, that's wrong. Well, as Christians, we understand that that's not true. Satanism is the belief that you can decide what is right or wrong. I mentioned this many times. Many years ago, Oscar and I, he's in here somewhere, we were out on summer saturation. We knocked on a door. Somebody had a little sign, and it was a sign pointing down. And it said, which way? And it was W-I-T-C-H, way. We started talking to the person. They said they were Wiccan. Wiccan is a form of satanic worship, although they wouldn't say that. So, oh, there you are, Oscar. How you doing? That's good to see you. Thanks. So we're starting there. So we talked to them. And so I was asking the guy about his beliefs. By the way, I knew what his beliefs were. I just wanted to hear it out of his mouth and get an opportunity to ask him what he thought about Christ so I could tell him what I thought about Christ, and hopefully he'd listen. But I'm like, what do you believe? And basically he told me many different things. But the bottom line he was saying is, whatever you believe is true for you is good for you, and whatever I believe is true for me is good for me. We call that Satanism. That's where our society is at. Satanism isn't torturing cats. It's not a pentagram with candles in the middle. Some people do that under the guise of Satanism, but really, that's bad advertisement for Satan. What Satanism is basically you deciding for yourself what is right or wrong, what is true, and what is not true. And the bad thing that's about this is the fact that the values of our society have been eroded. The values of our society have been degraded. And so we don't look at anything as right or wrong anymore. It's how do I feel? How do I like this? Many years ago, I didn't watch it. There was a show called Family Ties. And in an episode, the father takes the son to a concert to see his favorite artist. They actually somehow got tickets to go to the back and actually meet the artist. So they go to the back and they meet the artist and they open up his dressing room and he's in there with another woman who's not his wife. The boy is disillusioned. He walks out thinking, here's somebody I looked up to. He was my hero and he's cheating on his wife and he was kissing and hugging another woman. And he's like, he told his dad, I don't want to go to the show. Now here's what his dad tells him. His dad's like, well, do you like his music? Okay, he goes, well, yeah, I do. He goes, then does it really matter how he lives? By the way, that kind of thought used to be foreign to leaders in our country. I was listening to something when we were painting the house the other day, and I was listening to something about the history of our country. Our founding fathers are not anything like our people are being taught. By the way, most of them had divinity degrees. Most of them, for them to have a leader to act one way and be okay, because that's his choice, is very foreign. Morality was part of the whole picture. And by the way, they believe the Bible. The first Bibles printed in this country were commissioned by our government and paid for by our government. Okay? And so our government couldn't conceive that there would ever be a day that our school system would not have the Bible. I forget who the man's name is. He's considered the father of education in our country, schooling, public schooling. Even he said that the Bible was a core component of our school system. Bible's not even allowed on the school. You can bring anything else in, just don't you dare bring a Bible. Why? We've changed everything. We don't want to be told there is a right and there is a wrong. And so if we don't have that, then we are like the book of Judges describes in the verse in your sheet right there. Judges chapter 21, verse 25 says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The book of Judges takes that time from when Joshua died and then the leaders that were with him died until the time that there was a king in Israel, really till the time of Samuel, right, who prepared for the kings. And it tells the history of Israel, and it's nothing but utter confusion, nonsense, immorality. It doesn't make sense. You read through the book and say, how can a society act like that, particularly the Israelites who were brought out by a strong hand from the Lord? How can they get involved in all that? In those days, there was no king. There was nobody to put them in their place. There was no authority to say, we're not doing this. This isn't how we act. And so what did they do? Every man was their own king. They did that which was right in their own eyes, as we do today. It's no coincidence that as our country goes away from truth, that authority in our country is put down. Dads are mocked in our society and in our television primetime shows, which you shouldn't watch, is mocked as a buffoon, and the children are in control and know what's going on. We wonder why our families are so bad. We get on the police, we get on our military, our government. Well, a lot of times we have a right to get on our government. But the rules and the laws, schools. I feel we have several public school teachers in our school, and I feel sorry for them. They're good people, and they're trying to have the best influence they can, but there's very little choice in what's being taught and the influence that they can have, and it's a very sad situation. But when God-given authority and ordained authority is put down, understand this, there's always a void. And that void is going to be filled by somebody. In the times in which we live, that void is filled by ourselves. We are the ultimate authority. So schools and parents now, we stop focusing more on teaching the kids. Look, when I was in third grade, and it wasn't that long ago, it's a little longer than I would prefer it to have been, but third grade, right over here on Santa Fe, it's part of Long Beach. We called it Dominguez. Over here, Santa Fe, and that's by where the Fabros, you guys live. Right there, the school. It was Dominguez grade school when I was there. Third grade, our teacher spanked us in class. Hard. Say, how do you know? I was one of those kids that constantly was in that line. And you know, it was typically after lunch. And someone would narc, and it's like, come on up. Now, he used a yardstick. I remember one time, to the praise be of God, the yardstick broke. And it just so happens, I was in line. You know what he did? He got a ruler, and he had me put my hand out. And he slapped my hand. Say, he should go to jail. No, he shouldn't. I deserved every bit of it. Okay? I'm not saying we should beat the kid. But can I just tell you something? We respected authority. And when Mr. Selznick said, sit up, we're like, is this up enough? And by the way, he had control of the classroom. If I would have went home and told my mom or my grandparents, because they lived over there and we'd go to their house after school, if I would have went and told my grandfather that I got in trouble at school, I would have gotten trouble right there with him. Okay, but we don't like authority anymore, and we wonder why we're out of control. We're more interested now in teaching our little ones about self-esteem. I don't believe in self-esteem. I believe in esteem we have because of who we are in Jesus Christ. And I believe we ought to have self-esteem if we try hard and do our best, but we give self-esteem for doing nothing. Someone recommended a book. I've been reading it. It's called Generation Me. And this is a secular lady, and she teaches in a college, a high-end college. And she said that she gets this all the time. She'll give her students a bad grade, and they'll come in. And she said, one particular says, why did I get a bad grade? Because, like, you didn't do the work right. And this girl's arguing with her, saying, but I showed up to class, and I turned in my work. I ought to get an A. But it's like, your work's not A work. It doesn't matter. I showed up to class, and I turned in my work. Listen, you want to feel good about yourself? Do the right thing. Do the right thing. But that's, we've kind of just thrown everything off here. So what's the problem? Our society, and this is kind of an introduction, so that's why it's taking a little longer here. We're trying to decide the truths of things that really are unalterable from God's perspective. We don't have a choice. Some of the things in our society, what defines a marriage? Whatever I think defines a marriage. Well, that's fine, but the Bible's already defined the marriage for us. We can't alter that. You can, but it doesn't make it right. What define, and this one, and I've mentioned it, but I struggle. What defines who I am? It's very simple. I was born. I'm a guy. And if you're a lady, you were born a lady. Well, I don't like that. I want to change that. I want to alter that truth. You can't. You can say you are. I can go to my garage tonight, and I can stand in my garage. I can close the door. If my wife happened to come looking for me and open the garage door, and she sees me, and I go, vroom, 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 I am a car. Well, yeah, I'm standing in the garage. That doesn't make me a car. I'll never be a car. See, we're confused and we're hurting ourselves by trying to change. Many years ago, and I didn't get it. I still read some of his books and a seminar we used to go to, and he talked about God's unchangeables in our life. And he mentioned all these simple things. I'm like, why is that a big deal? We're finding out now 30 years later why it's a big deal. Because we're not happy with who we are, so we want to change our reality. But reality is reality. What is God? And I mean little g. What defines life? If you put all this on the table, and it's all up for debate, truth, there is no truth. God doesn't put things up for debate. God says, here it is. So what happens? If we have no truth, our base sinful desires become the definition of what is right or wrong. This is how I feel. This is what I want. Therefore, it is right. Now, you know, I'm not a fan of contemporary Christian music. There's a 3 weeks ago, a guy in a group called Everyday Sunday. I don't listen to him. My wife really likes him, but I don't. A contemporary group, the lead singer came out and said, I'm gay. He's married. His children. When they asked him about it, he said, I've always struggled with this, and I just have to be true to myself. First of all of us have sinful desires. His is to the degree. Okay, so if I desire to be an adulterer, do I need to be true to myself and just be an adulterer? If I have a desire to be a drug addict, do I just have to be true to myself? No, those are desires that need to be checked. But see, now what we do is we say, I'm not going to check them. I'm going to decide to do what I want, and I'm okay with it. And we still call ourselves Christian. Our culture, and this is where we get really to the Ten Commandments, we've thrown down what God says is right and wrong. It starts with the Ten Commandments. There used to be much debate about the Ten Commandments. It used to be in all of our courthouses. Yep. It'd be in our school. Yep. By the way, they used to read the Bible in school. Absolutely. You know, when they read the Bible in school, you know what one of the biggest problems they had with the students? Chewing gum in class. I'll take that. You can even blow bubbles. Now it's drug, violence, teen pregnancy, you name it. You think maybe, and then, you know, we see that bad things happen, and I don't want bad things to happen. We say, why didn't God do something about it? Because you kicked them out. Yeah. It's like having a fire at your house and saying, how come my house burned down? Well, the fire department shows up, and you tell them to get lost. You don't want their help. And you wonder why your house burned down. The Ten Commandments. I believe in the Ten Commandments we see the foundational principles of a society, of life. There's a lot in the Bible. But I think that if we look there, we will see it. More important to that, I see God's commands for us as an expression of his love. And his expression for us to have true liberty in life. Liberty is not doing your own thing. Liberty is doing God's thing, because God's thing will keep you from sin, and sin is binding. But God's word keeps us from that, and we can live in the liberty that God wants for us. Think of the words I put here. Law, love, and liberty. I think you actually have a blank in your sheet that we're going to get to. What is law? That which God commands. And on this, these are generic definitions I've given. That which God commands us to do because he knows best, and they are best for us. There it is. That's why God gives us commands. Because God knows what's best, and God wants what's best for us. And so look, we have children, and by the way, this has even been thrown out. We give our children, you know, certain guidelines, things they can do, things they can't do. And some parents are like, I don't do that with my kids because I love them. No. If you love them, you will do that. You don't want them sticking their piece of metal into a light socket or running out in the street or doing something harmful. Listen, we have to give them guidelines. Those guidelines aren't restrict. Those are because we love them and we want what's best for them. And at that age, they don't even know what's best for them. But God's the same is true with God for us. Love. What is love? That's the motivation behind why God gives us commands. You know why God gives us commands? He loves us. He loves us. And then liberty. What is liberty? Liberty is the result of following God's commands for us. A person that says, I always do my own thing, no one tells me to do, I'm a free man, they live a life of bondage. It's the surest way to have problems. Now, let's look at a few points here tonight. Number one, you didn't think we were going to get there, did you? We must understand the need for the commands of God. This is all introduction to the Ten Commandments, and then we'll get into it. But we must understand the need for the commands of God. Do you understand that we need God's commands? We need them. Everybody needs a moral code to live by.
Yes, sir.
We all do.
Yes, sir.
We need to know what is right and what is wrong and what path we have to take and what would help us. What would hurt us? Thou shalt not. That would hurt us. Thou shalt. That would help us. We all need a moral code. And that moral code's got to come from an authority. Not just somebody, not just anywhere. It must come from God, who is the only one, worthy one to give us the objective standard of what is right and wrong. There are three places that a standard can come from. I think this is in your notes. The first place it can come from is human feelings. Human feelings. Each person tells you what they think is right based on how they feel. Get up on the old talk shows. I don't think Oprah does this anymore, but back in the early days, she'd get up there and some of these others do it, and they give a subject, and it's like, how do you feel about that? And this person's, well, you know, I just feel this, and I feel that. And everybody has different feelings. So their moral code comes from how they feel. Another way is majority vote. Well, let's just all get together and let's vote what we think is best. Do you understand that more often than not, the majority is often wrong? Okay? Just look at our presidential candidates this year. I saw, Brother Tony, I think, sent me a picture. They said it's true. It's an obituary of a lady who recently died. And I think her family had a sense of humor. How many of you saw that? Yeah? And they have a little picture in the paper, and they're telling a little bit about her. And it says, and it had her name, like she was a really older lady. She says, Mary Jo Johnson, faced with the choice of voting for either Hillary or Trump, decided to move on to eternal glory. Okay. Listen, we're just how'd those two get there? You know, popular vote. And I understand, I'm all for voting and all of that. The problem with those two is that feelings and popular demand, I guess, change. They're not steady. Feelings change. People's views change. And so the standard's always going to change. The third one, though, is an absolute standard. What's an absolute standard? It's the standard. It's not changing. Everything must be measured with that standard. There's no deviation. Well, we believe in an absolute standard. We believe everybody needs an absolute standard. And that absolute standard is from God. He doesn't go by his feelings. He doesn't care what society or human individuals believe or what is popular. God says, this is it. And that helps us. Number two, so we must understand first the need for the commands of God. Number two, we must understand the power behind the Ten Commandments. Now, as we look at the Ten Commandments, we often bypass verse 1 and 2 to get into the commandments, which start in verse 3. Let's look at verse 1 and 2 again. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Okay? See, before we can establish his commands, we need to establish his authority. He is the power behind the commands. What do I mean? Look at letter A. The commandments have the full authority of God behind them. You see, God is behind it. It's not 10 suggestions. It's not 10 steps to a better life. 10 ways to be free. They're God's commands. They come from him. They come from his authority. They're not suggestions. They're not good ideas. They're not, maybe you should try this. It's cut and dry. So the power behind the Ten Commandments is God. So they have the full authority of God behind them. And the Lord and God spake all these words. It wasn't something Moses came up with. Gee, let me go to the mount for 40 days and get a chisel and a hammer and see what I can come up with. No, they came from God. Letter B. The Ten Commandments have the full authority of God's word behind them. And I am the Lord which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. He spake these words. He has every right to say it. So, we have more than the Ten Commandments in our hands. We have the full and complete word of God. And God's authority stands behind it. We have no right to change it. We have no right to debate it. It's God's word. And it's what it is. The big difference between what society believes and what we believe is seen in the verse I have there. Look at Deuteronomy 4:33. As Moses is going back through the history of Israel, he's trying to get them ready to cross the promise into the promised land. He says this, "Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of fire as thou hast heard and live?" What he's trying to say is, don't you understand the awesome privilege and power you have? You've got the direct words of God. Amen. These are God's words. Sometimes people come into a church and maybe they'll hear us say something here and they want to argue and debate about it. Listen, if I say something that's my philosophy, we can argue and debate about it. But if it is something straight from the Word of God, it isn't up for debate. You say, I don't like it. I'm going to get mad at you. I get mad at me too. I don't like it either. But if it's the Bible, I have no right to question it. Okay? I have no right to get mad about it. It's God. I don't know what you know, this is kind of church. Isn't that what you expect in church? And so that's where we at. But we have a McDonald's Christianity. Just to even say that word makes me nauseous. But McDonald's Christianity. Drive through. What do you want? A fish sandwich. No, I don't want a fish sandwich. You know, give me what I want. Listen, God doesn't, I've been in a cafeteria. Cafeterias are like before we had the all-you-can-eat buffets. You just go there, they have all this different kind of food, and you just pick what you want and put it on there, and you pay for whatever you get. And they'll have five or six different main dishes, and if you don't want lasagna, you can get meatloaf. Okay, if you don't want rice, you're a Christian, you're going to get mashed potatoes and gravy, something like that. Okay, you get what you want. We've kind of brought that into God. Oh, the Bible? No, I don't want that, Lord. You keep that one. I'll take this one. I don't want that, Lord. No. God lays it out for us. And again, why? Is God being mean-spirited? No, God loves us, and he wants us to have freedom and liberty in our life, and sin is binding. So he tells us what it is. Let me give you one more, and we'll be done. Number three, we must view them, of course, speaking of the Ten Commandments, for the positive actions they promote and the blessing obedience to them brings. You know, well, I don't like you guys, you know, list and all that. Let's see it from a positive perspective. God is stating it for a positive reason. If we were to flip them around and make them sound like the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor and all that, here's what they would say. Blessed are they who put God first. I would agree to that. Blessed are they who need no substitute for God. I don't need another God. I'm good. Blessed are they who honor God's name. Blessed are they who honor God's day. Blessed are they who honor their parents. Blessed are they who value life. Blessed are they who keep their marriage vows. Blessed are they who respect the property of others. Blessed are they who love the truth. And blessed are they who understand contentment. That's what all that's talking about. You know, I get tired. You know, well, you guys believe in list. I don't believe in list. God did. It's his list. Okay? And his list is for our good. And if we believe in God's list, we're called legalists. So on one hand, you have the world that says, we don't believe there's absolute truth. And then you have Christians over here saying, we don't believe in list. We have liberty in Christ to do whatever we want. That's true if whatever you want is what God wants. And you do have, by the way, you do have liberty to do whatever you want, and you also have liberty to suffer the consequences. Sometimes we think of this. Well, you know, if I sin, God's going to judge me. And so we have the cockroach mentality. You know, it's like you see a cockroach, when he comes out in the open, you squish him. Okay? You think that God's looking for us to do wrong so he can stop us. There's the payment to sin. No. You know, a lot of the safety from the bad consequences of sin is built in by not doing the action in the first place. Okay? don't commit adultery. He's trying to keep your family right. He's trying to keep your family together. He's trying to keep your marriage relationship loving. Okay? And if you do that, you're going to ruin it all. If we were honest sometimes, and I would appreciate this if someone wants to argue, oh, that's a list, you shouldn't, all right, whatever. I would just appreciate if they'd be honest and say, listen, I just want to do my own thing. I'm like, I appreciate your honesty. Why don't we just be honest? The reason, you know why the reason sometimes I disobey God? Because I wanted to. I allowed myself to. It has nothing to do with all, you know, well, I just didn't believe, you know, at that point that I shouldn't, you know, blow up and say something. No. I did wrong. I sinned. It wasn't a mistake. I chose. So let's be honest about it. We need to stop there. It's 8 o'clock. Let's pray.